We're off and out of man. It is Chaos Theory. Welcome to it. Oh, they just switched it up. I'm going to switch it up. Welcome to Chaos Theory, everybody. You guys know the drill. Rodney's not here today, so Keenan's stepping in for him. We got Keenan from DraftPunk.com. Make sure you guys check that out. Yeah, you know your favorite band, Daft Punk. Just put an R in that bad boy. DraftPunk.com.
You got it.
Yeah, that's all you do. You just add the R.
DraftPunkOfficial.substack.
DraftPunk, thank you very much. Yeah. There we go. That's the official website there. Anyways, you can follow Keenan on Twitter there at the Keenan, or it's not the Keenan Womack, it's just Keenan Womack.
It's at Keenan Womack. I write for SI as well. I write three pieces a week.
Boom.
Illustrated.
So. All over the place. My guy is just making splashes all over the place. You can find me on Twitter, not the fake Wags, and on Instagram at the Wagner Wire. You guys know the drill. Make sure you're hitting us up on that Coda text line if you are mobile. 512-222-9328. Smash that subscribe button if you hadn't done so already, and tell five friends, like our guy Harge says over there at the Zone. Keenan, my guy, it's so good to have you back on the show. It's so good to have you, your face in front of me, dude, and get to chop it up with you. We got a lot on the plate today, man. We'll talk some NBA because I know that's your forte. But also, man, I'd love to talk to you about recruiting as well. You're in on that. Yeah. Shit, man, we only got an hour and we got a lot to talk about. We got a lot to talk about.
We could fill a few hours. No question.
Right. No kidding, man. So anyways, dude, how the hell have you been, man? What have you been up to?
So I am working at a tech company part-time, and then I'm working at doing stuff for SI part-time. Well, actually, the tech job is pretty much full-time, but
How do you like tech?
It's not bad, dude. It's like a very chill job. It's, you know, it's not too demanding.
And all that stuff.
Yeah, it's not too demanding. It's pretty reasonable. It pays well. It's a good stopgap gig, I guess.
It's a different vibe, is it not?
In between sports writing and broadcasting gigs, you know, you sometimes have to do other stuff. And so
broadcasting and writing is a labor of love. Everybody,
100%. Yeah. You got to do other stuff sometimes to help support that. But I'm just really grateful I get to do it again.
Yeah, man. Well, it's great to have you back. I'm curious. Of course, you know, I'm a tech guy. What are you doing in tech?
I'm working for a company that contracts employees out to Apple, and we just work for them. Yeah. It's not very interesting.
So any tech is good tech for me. Like, especially if you're
you're a tech
world, man. All right, so what do you want to get into first? You want to dive into the NBA? You want to talk a little baseball? You got any recruiting you want to get in?
I kind of had something I wanted to talk about with the Kentucky hiring their new coach and Arkansas hiring Calipari.
Are you shocked that Cal exited stage right this year? I mean, it felt like it was coming for the past couple of seasons, right?
Yeah, I'm not surprised he left. I am surprised under the circumstances which he left, and I'm surprised that he went to Arkansas. Because Kentucky and Arkansas, no love lost between those guys, right? Sure. They're old school SEC teams. These guys have hated each other. I mean, I know Arkansas was Southwest Conference until like the mid-90s or whatever, but you know, it's one of those things where Calipari built an entire culture there, and he built a culture of developing dudes and getting them into the NBA. Well, developing is kind of a buzzword, but you know, it's
Kentucky, and I'm sorry to cut you off, but Arkansas and Kentucky had a bout back in the day against each other, right? Like, Arkansas entered the SEC, I believe.
They were great in the 90s.
Right.
Both teams were. So I'm sure they battled a lot of times then in the tournament or whatever. But Arkansas won it all in 96, and that was the last time, or that was their last championship. But their fans are kind of already celebrating like they already won the Final Four, and it's like, maybe tap the brakes like a little bit.
Yeah, just hold it up a little bit. Buddy.
It's like, I don't know, man. He hasn't coached a game yet. He kind of looked like he was mailing it in at the end there at Kentucky. I don't know. I wouldn't be
say like a change of scenery is good for somebody, or a new crowd is good for you to have your words fall on their ears instead of deaf ears or some shit like that.
Yeah, well, it's like Shaka Smart did the same thing basically when he went to Marquette.
Yeah, and it seems like it worked out pretty damn well for Shaka Smart going up to Marquette, right?
Yeah, I'm still trying to understand why he was such a failure at Texas, because
Maybe Texas Marquette team
this year had three NBA dudes on it. He got three NBA dudes on that team. He had Cam Jones.
Oh, yeah.
He had Tyler Kolek. He had Oso Iguodaro. All three of those dudes are going to play in the NBA. And he got them pretty far. And I don't think he won a single tournament game at Texas. I don't think he ever won. I think he went to the tournament three times and lost in the first round.
Well, that's the question that I want to pose to you. Is it Shaka or is it Texas? Because it feels like it's really hard to win here.
I don't know. They made the Elite Eight 2 years ago. Consistently, sure. Like, the problem is the DFW area is probably the best basketball, fertile basketball ground maybe in the world, right? The amount of top 15 picks.
Anybody that's been to an AAU tournament up there will tell you
exactly.
Will tell you firsthand that.
Duncanville and like all of the high schools in the Dallas-Fort Worth area are highly competitive in basketball. Kimball, for example, Rylan Griffin last night, Alabama wing, guard wing, entered the transfer portal. He was Kaysen Wallace's backcourt mate at Richardson High School in Dallas. So I don't know where he'll end up, but yeah, so you go to these tournaments and it's just like Texas is finally taking advantage of some of these studs from Dallas. They got Trey Johnson coming in this year, right? And that was a thing that I was concerned about is they can't keep missing on these in-state prospects. That's how you build.
Right.
That's how you fill out your roster. I love that they went and got Kendall Weaver off of UT Arlington last year. Thought that was a great pickup. He played a major role this year, you know. I think they should really, you know, obviously Roddy Terry knows this better than I do, but just I'd put a laser focus on Dallas-Fort Worth. There's just so much talent that comes out of there every year.
Well, see, here's the caveat to having like all that. It's funny because we're talking about John Calipari, right? It seems like Kentucky always built like the whole one and done system, right? Or like they always had like a good fresh crop of freshmen coming in.
Yeah.
And then, boom, before they don't even think about, staying as sophomores. They're up into the association at a blink of an eye, right? Like, sure, that's great for your team. But at also like from the counter standpoint, you kind of want that veteran leadership and the continuity on your team so that you can make deep runs because sure, the talent's fantastic. But at the end of the day, sometimes Keenan, I think that the coaching and schemes outdo the pros are better than the Joes. You know what I mean? It seems like the schemes are better than the talent that's on the floor at sometimes.
I would say like with them in particular too, like with Kentucky basketball, like last year, they had two top seven picks on their team, right? They had Reed Shepard and they had Rob Dillingham, both of whom
top three, you'd think?
I don't know. Here's the thing. This is my area of real expertise, is NBA draft stuff, because I write about the draft all the time. But I would say Dillingham's biggest problem is that he is really small and he can't defend at all. He's like Trae Young on defense. So
liability.
He's like Lou Williams on offense, kind of. Maybe Brandon Jennings, maybe Bones Highland, something like that. Just kind of a smaller, undersized guard who's really dynamic and can handle and finish, but he can't defend, at all. The thing that was really unforgivable this year for Kentucky was that Reed Shepard didn't start. Reed Shepard had by far the best offensive and defensive ratings on that team. He is a fantastic player.
Shepard started over Dillingham for the first part of the season.
He didn't start. Neither of them started.
Oh,
Reed started. Yeah, they both came off the bench. And Shepard's going to be a top six pick. Same with Dillingham, probably. This is such a weird draft, man. Like every time I think I like a guy, he declares that he's going back to college. So. Weird.
How do you see Zach Edey transferring into the NBA? Do you think his game will actually compute and actually play in the NBA? I mean, it looks, because to me, look, sure, you're a foot or you're half a foot taller than your opposition, right? Or anybody that's going to see you or try to match up with you in the paint. And pretty much the size, besides DJ Williams, I didn't see too many people that had the physicality and the body size to kind of even throw a 7'4" dude around, right? Or even try and box a 7'4" dude out, right? Now, look, Klingon looked fantastic. He looked like he had it figured out in the final in the championship game.
Top pick.
But besides that, like, I mean, hell, dude, like, he's so dominant because of his size, right? And don't tell me he's not tall, Jay, right? I'm looking at him. He's cutting the damn
ladder. 10-4.
He's cutting the net down without standing on the damn ladder. He's tall, Jay, right? He's missing buddies at the lane. He's missing little baby hooks at the lane. My problem with Zach Edey is he's so big and dominant, but when you're at that professional level, you need to have the speed with that physicality and that size too, right? The footwork just ain't there, Keenan. It looks like he's got two left feet.
Yeah, so
He can shoot from the mid-range. Like, if he's uncontested, He can hit a free throw. He can. But he does struggle with some contested shots right there at the basket, right there for bunnies, man. It looks like he misses a few baby hooks that usually, you know, the pros right now, of course the pros right now are going to hit him because they get to practice it every damn day. But Keenan, right. I don't care if it's contested or not. Somebody's a half a foot taller than you, and you're right there at the basket. If you're not dunking that, that's an issue.
Here's Zach Edey is basically Enes Kanter.
That's a really good comp. That's so good.
He loves to, what's his name? Enes Kanter, now known as Enes Freedom. He's like a, I don't know what his deal is. He's like a
he's a voice.
Political guy. He's a voice. It's very annoying. Very annoying. But He just trash talks LeBron all the time, and it's like, dude, you got played off the floor. But literally, he was trash talking Devin Booker on Twitter, and Devin Booker just responded with a facepalm emoji, and it just said, pick and roll right, 00 every time. He just can't defend. Edey can't defend the pick and roll, man. He's not going to be able to
stay. Absolute liability in the paint. Enes is. Yes. And that's how I feel like Edey's going to be too, right? He's going to get lost in the shuffle a lot of times. He's not going to be able to get through and try and fight back to work on those slip screens. Man, he's got some talent.
He's talented on offense.
Yeah, he's got some talent on offense. You can't deny that. But, dude, he is going to get eaten alive in the NBA until he gets his speed down.
I don't know that he can. Like, when you're that big, You've been moving as a big person for your whole life. I don't know if you can adjust that at this point, you know?
So, yeah, I mean, maybe you
think
do
like backup center at best.
Okay. Maybe you do like some dance moves or you try and get yourself a little bit of a, you know, you do, what do they call it? The samba? The merengue? I don't know. I don't know my damn dance moves. I don't know my dance steps. Anyways, you got to take some lessons, man. You got to get your footwork agile a little bit, dude.
I mean, just look at the footwork of a guy like Klingon, who, I mean...
You already mentioned the top five, so...
Yeah, he's top five, yeah. Yeah. And I had him like 10 a month ago, and now I...
What? Why the aspersions? Just because of the strong tournament play? I mean,
strong tournament play. He's a drop big, which is sort of a dying archetype in the NBA. But I mean, he's just so physically strong. He can kind of rim run a little bit. He's not super fast, but he's fairly agile. He doesn't have the problem that Edey has, where he's like slow laterally. That's,
and if he gets
probably,
beat, he can rotate back and make up.
Yes, yeah, he can play switch. Occasional. Well, actually, Klingon doesn't need to switch. Edey definitely can't. But yeah, I mean, Klingon is the type of guy. He's kind of like, I always compare Klingon to Ivica Zubats from the Clippers. Big Serbian center. I think he's Serbian or Ukrainian or something. And you know, but I mean, he put up like 15-12 for his career. Like, that's super valuable. You know, so. I think a perfect fit for a guy like Klingon would be, well, it depends because the draft order hasn't really shaken out yet completely. So I don't know. Whoever needs like a rebounding and post defense, like if the Mavericks didn't have Gafford.
I'll tell you right now, Washington, the Wizards.
Wizards might pick him, yeah. But I think if I'm the Wizards, I go with Alex Sarr, because I think the Wizards are going to have the number one pick probably. I'd go with Alex Sarr.
Wizards need a lot more help than that.
Yeah, well, this draft isn't really a draft to build around. It's a draft to build with, kind of. Like, your best players in this draft are probably going to be ancillary pieces as opposed to, like, getting a piece that is your main piece.
That's a good point. Complimentary pieces out of this draft instead of just hero ball, right?
I can't think of a single guy in this draft that is for sure going to be an all-star. Like, none of them.
Damn.
There could be all-stars. I'm not saying there won't be.
There's potential there, but yeah.
It's not obvious yet. It's not obvious. It's the Ignite thing really complicated basketball for a lot of these kids, man, because, like, I like the idea of Ignite, and I think they did an okay job executing it. But first of all, I'm friends with Dink Pate, whose dad is a football coach at UNLV, and Dink Pate plays for Ignite. And he signed a 2-year deal with Ignite, and then they folded. So he's, like, kind of SOL now. They're going to help him out, obviously. But, like, you know, when you play for Ignite, you're playing with a bunch of mercenaries, man.
Sure.
You're playing with a bunch of dudes who you're going to play with for maybe a year. You're playing with a bunch of dudes who are 18. You're playing against guys who have been in the NBA for 8, 9, 10 years. So it's really hard to win. Ignite, I think, won 2 out of their 30 games this year because they were getting just destroyed by other G League teams, because the G League is all,
like, people don't realize, even G League players, like, people don't realize how talented G League players are.
G League teams would destroy college teams. I mean, absolutely dismantle college teams. And European teams would dismantle college teams too. And that's what the whole irony was with the Luka Doncic thing a few years ago. They're like, the joke, right? It's like, yeah, he did it against the German national team, but can he do it against Lehigh? It's like, why are we applying this? Yeah. Why are we applying this to this? Yeah.
He did it against professionals that have to practice that every day, every minute of the day.
They're better than Oregon State. I'm sorry. They are.
Yeah, I always loved that pull, that cop, when they were talking about Luka. You know, well, he's played in European League, but will that transfer over to the American Association?
Better.
Yeah.
It's literally easier to score in America than it is in the EuroLeague, because there's no 3 seconds in the EuroLeague.
No defense in America.
Mac Eady would be amazing in EuroLeague. He wouldn't have to move at all. You just put him in the paint, just camp him out, block stuff. Be great.
Right. Hey, you know, we just spoke about it. Let's get into the NBA too. We've been talking about the draft. Let's get into the actual NBA because it's winding down.
Yeah, yeah.
We got probably like a week until we get into the playoffs here. Mm-hmm. First off, surprises of the season.
My Mavericks.
Okay. All right.
I think that'd be
is it because of Batman? Are you guys going to be able to make a strong push without Lively?
He'll be back for the playoffs.
Okay.
He'll be back in like a week, but luckily they signed Gafford, or when they traded for Gafford and PJ Washington in the Charlotte deal, that was super helpful for their depth, because the Mavericks are good at everything now except for they don't excel at perimeter defense, but PJ Washington is a good perimeter defender. He's probably their best perimeter defender now, followed by Josh Green, I would say.
Green's a stud.
Yeah, I like Green. He's just really inconsistent on the offensive end. But, I mean, honestly, I think I have a strong feeling that there's going to be a trade package this offseason involving him, Tim Hardaway, and Jaden Hardy. They're probably going to trade all 3 of those guys for something.
I feel like I'm watching like Payne or somebody for like a couple of years ago when they were on Phoenix, just trying, you know, contributing a good, like, giving good minutes on defense or whatnot, hitting a shot or two if they have to on the offensive end. But really, man, I feel like Green's going to step into his role maybe in the next team that he lands on.
Yeah.
Or maybe, you know, if he is able to stay at Dallas in a couple of seasons, I feel like Green's going to step into the actual role that he should be.
Well, his archetype is attractive, right? He's kind of a guard wing combo, very athletic, can shoot corner threes, but he can't really shoot off the dribble.
He can't get his own shot. Yeah.
Yeah. He can't really get his own shot, but he has a role somewhere. I just don't know that it's in Dallas. I like Josh, but they picked him over, you know, the next 2 picks on the draft were after.
I can't remember.
Desmond Bain and Tyrese Maxey.
Bro. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, who knew that Maxey was going to be doing what he's doing up in Philly, though?
I mean, he was a lot better in college than Josh was. He's just younger. And they were like, I guess they wanted the experience. I don't know why they didn't pick. I would have rather had Desmond Bane. He's a Dallas kid, too. And they needed an off guard. Now they have Kyrie, so they don't need him. But Bane can play a little wing, too. So I don't know. I another Dallas guy, man. The Dallas area is just unbelievable with the creating talent. I mean, just crazy.
Flowing with it, man. Flowing with talent. Yeah. All right. So let's talk about the Mavericks. The problem with the Mavericks is that they're in the West. You know what I mean? Like, if they were in the East, they probably rolled through the East. The only team that's even batting my eye or making me, give any type of recollection or pause for the West anyways, it's just Boston, right?
Yeah. But hell, like, nobody else cares.
I feel like Boston's going to struggle with at least three teams in a best of series format from the West, right? Like the West is just that dominant. And honestly, like if we're really talking about meat and potatoes here, I mean, I've mentioned this, the past couple of weeks, if you're really trying to beat Denver in a 7-game series, like it's damn near impossible.
They're
just that loaded. They're that talented. If there's a team to do that, man, I think Dallas has or Oklahoma, like Oklahoma can battle, but they got some size up front in the front court that can kind of give, Jokic a little bit of contested shots, maybe just a little bit, but hell, it's fucking Nikola Jokic. Like, that's the thing. Like, how do you stop it? He's so damn impossible to stop. And if you double him and double down on him, hell, man, he's just going to kick it out to Murray or Porter Jr. is going to come along and hit a shot somewhere, or Aaron Gordon's going to show up out of nowhere and stuff it down. Like, they're loaded, man. They just got really good key contributors too, outside of their hero ball players.
Yeah, I mean, you have this engine of all engines in Jokic, but you also have Jamal Murray, you have Aaron Gordon, you have Christian Brown, who's been a great addition to the team. It's part of that Kansas National Championship team in 2022. I mean, they just have a bunch of dudes that contribute in a lot of ways. And they also, the other thing that I think is important about them is they buy into their roles, and they're not complaining about...
They buy into what?
They buy into their roles. You know what I mean? Like believe in the...
They sell out. They 100% sell out to the roles. 100%.
And that's like amazing if you're a coach that you can get your
team. It's like they're the fucking Patriots of NBA.
What I mean? Like, yeah. Or the Astros.
Do the little things right and the big things will take care of itself.
As much as I hate to give the Astros credit, I have to. They're great. How about your Orioles, man?
You got your broom out sweeping the Red Sox there, my guy. Jackson Holliday coming up there. But no, I mean, it was Crozier that was, stealing the show there from Jackson Holliday. Two bombs last night. The biggest one, a big fly in the damn, in extra innings or whatnot. And that's kind of when, again, like all last week, I've been sitting here saying that I hate, the ghost runner in extra innings, but I can't stand it. But it helped out last night. When it's on my side, I'm a fan of it. You know what I mean?
It's just funny to me that of all sports, baseball is without question the most like reliant on its traditions. Their baseball writers are so like. Shouts out Joe Cook, my boy. He's a baseball writer, and I read some of the stuff the other baseball writers say, and they're so pompous. Not the Austin area ones. They're cool. I'm talking about like the dudes who've been writing about it for 50 years, They're very guys into the Hall of Fame and just...
I feel like golf and baseball, you're usually a really pretentious writer, are you?
Yeah, right? Yeah. But there's also some very funny, like, who's the main ESPN golf guy? The big black dude who wears Hawaiian shirts? That guy's awesome.
With the beard, I can't...
Yeah, that guy rules. That guy's a golf reporter. He seems like the chillest guy ever. But,
when it comes to golf, man, I can't remember his name, but usually that's the... aficionado, right? Or it's SVP.
SVP's a Maryland guy too, yeah?
Yeah, he's a Maryland dude, yeah.
That's your dude.
That is the guy that inspired me to get into journalism.
No way.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man.
100%. I remember him and Stu back in the day, man.
That's a squad.
And Neil Everett, nights watching him. Hey, how's it? You know what I mean?
Dan Barrett, all those guys.
Oh, Barry. Oh, yeah, dude. Great line. That's my era of that. I guess that's my wheelhouse of SportsCenter, right? Like watching, just like watching reruns over and over until like 3 a.m. until you fall asleep, right?
Oh, like yeah. You're like 7 beers deep after class and you're just like,
yeah, bro, you can't turn it off. Just look over and your roommate's fucking already passed out or whatever.
Yeah.
You missed it.
Just wake up every 20 minutes. Oh, yeah, the Athletics lost. Fall back to sleep.
Oh, yeah, man. Hey, well, how about your Rangers, though, man? We talked about my Birds, man. Let's get about your Rangers, dude.
Dude, I'm always down to talk my Rangers. Not a great series against the A's. That's pretty...
No. Bucci locked in his 2,100 victory, right?
Yeah.
Career victory?
Very cool.
That's one little caveat that you get to take from the series.
I'm beyond grateful for that man. Like, that guy...
Now, you want to talk about being seven beers deep. I joke about this a lot, but if there's a manager that you could roll around with and go to a bar,
he'd be awesome.
All of baseball, it probably would be Bruce Bochy, right?
I don't know. I'd want Ozzie Guillen so he'd fight people.
I don't know. I wouldn't want to go with Boch for the stories, right?
Fair enough.
You know what I mean? Like Ozzie, you know you're going to tear up a damn bar.
A bar fight's happening.
Yeah. You're gonna have to bail Ozzy out. That's probably the big thing, right? Or he's gonna talk his shit, and you're gonna have to be pulling him away, or he's gonna get you into trouble, right? But story would be Boch. Like, he would be the guy that would just give you all the damn. You'd have the patrons at the end of the bar buying you beers, right? Instead of you buying the local patrons beer, you're buying beers for fucking Boch and shit like that. It's the story. The story, and probably a double of Jack at every.
Oh yeah,
is he a beer guy? You think he's a booze dude?
Seems like a beer guy. Seems like he'd crush like 15 light beers.
Yeah, man. I gotta go to K to get me a case real quick. Hold on.
I gotta go to the Valero to buy some Modelo.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where he's going to. He's going to the corner store. He ain't going to the damn liquor. He ain't going to Specs or he ain't going to Twins. He's going to the corner store.
He's going to a nice liquor store. He's going to the corner store.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. Yeah, he's one of the he's like one of the true spirits. You want to talk about purists? You want to talk about old heads in baseball? Like,
oh yeah,
that's a good old head in baseball.
Yes, and Ron Washington's another good old head in baseball.
Who?
Ron Washington.
Oh yeah, Ron. Oh yeah, and Ron, out there in Anaheim, man, mm-hmm. getting busy for the
good
Halo
for him,
out
man.
There, man. That's another dude. Like, so here's the thing: you could go party with Boch, but if you went and partied with Ron, you're probably going to jail.
Yeah, you're gonna get in trouble.
You're gonna go to jail. And you know what? Ron's gonna be laughing the entire way with you. You know what I mean? He ain't gonna let you. You know, go out there on your own, man. He's probably gonna be leading. He's probably gonna be calling up the party dudes. You know what I mean?
Let me get the real stuff here. I see Ron as kind of you got the devil on each shoulder. He could be either one.
Oh yeah,
he depending is. On the day. Yeah, you know, yeah. you don't
he's
know what you're going to get.
Reasoning and the voice of rationale, and he's also the voice of a good time, a really good the white devil.
Nobody has a good time like that man. And honestly, though, I we joke, but mad respect.
Oh, baseball actor, that dude is exceptional.
He overcame like a cocaine addiction, so respect to him for that.
Right, I say it tongue in cheek, man, but
I know you are. I'm not. Right. I know you're not being like. I just love the guy. He did so much for the Rangers organization, and he's really like saved his life. It's pretty cool.
Right on, man. All right, before we get back into basketball, let me tell you guys about Audiovisual Consultations. 512-255-8678. That's avconsultations.com. For the past 35 years, they've been setting the standard in audiovisual automation. If you have, you know, an idea, or if you don't have an idea of what you want, go to the website that they have and look at the gallery of projects that they've done over the past 35 years. I guarantee you'll get an idea. Whether it's the two TVs that I have behind me or the arcade units or the four TVs that BK has at his house, it's all deadly, man. 512-255-8678. That's avconsultations.com. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we do have the Masters going down, and apparently Tiger did birdie on the third hole today. So,
really?
Yeah, we actually got confirmation. We got some people, you know, chirping up and talking about that in the damn chat as well. So, yeah, Tiger looks good. Who was your most – did you watch any of the Masters first round yesterday?
Yeah, I watched some of it, but I'm playing Calcutta this year. You know what that is?
Well, yeah, look at you. How did you get that?
Fraternity from college. We do it every year. We do it with some guys from UT, some guys from my friend's law school.
Play?
You want to jump in? Yeah, text me.
No. Can you play? Can you like?
Oh,
can you
actually, oh no, can you hell no. Play? I like to gamble on it though.
Right.
I'm a gambler.
I mean, no,
man.
Are you good? My Keenan, my question that I'm asking: are you any good at golf?
No. Okay. No, God, no. No, absolutely not. Every time I've played golf, I just like, it's just fun to like drive around in the cart and be on the course and
Yeah, usually if I'm on the golf course with you, you know that I'm on the course because you can smell, you know, oh, there's Wagner. I can smell Wagner. You know, there
why do you smell like Miller Lite or something?
No, you can usually smell like, you know, another wafty cloud of something.
Gotcha.
Else,
but, yeah, it's yeah. hot.
Oh, what's that? What's that cloud hot, back on the back nine there? Yeah, oh, that's Wagner. There he is. Oh, okay.
That's the thing. I have a very Texas A&M like back half nine every time I play. Like, I'll have like an okay first nine, and then it just everything falls apart.
Just throwing your shoes into the
I basically just quit after hole 12. I'm just like, all right, I've had enough of this today.
All right, this is the thing about golf, right? One day you'll go out there, you'll hit like a 107.
Yeah, and you're like, okay.
No, actually, that I'm kind of like pissed off if I hit a 107 now. So,
I was talking through the first nine holes. I'd be
like, no. Like, so Keenan, like, I've taken a step into my game. I'm in the 90s now. I'm a 90s golfer.
No way.
Yeah,
dude, that's awesome. Where do you play?
I am a consistent 90s golfer. Now, the highest I've gotten is 91, but I'm consistently between 97 and 94, man. Like, I have figured that's something really out. Good, I don't know what it is. And dude, for 20, this is not an embellishment. For 20 years, I was easily around 120 to like 110. I couldn't even get out of that range. Out of that range.
That's where I'm at.
I don't know what it just clicked. All of a sudden, like I don't try and out muscle the ball. I don't try and overswing. I let the fucking club do the work. That's it.
Yeah, and the whole
I don't have customized clubs or anything like that. And that's the thing too. Like when you start hitting really good, when you get into the 90s, you're like, all right, now I'm going to treat myself. Now I'm going to go get myself some really good clubs and go get measured and sized up. I still haven't done that yet, man.
Yeah, it's like I teach drum lessons, and my rule to the parents was they got to do 6 months before they get a kit. They got to practice.
That's a good prereq.
And the kid did it, so now he has a kit, and he's really good. But yeah, man, I kind of want to jump back into Mavericks real quick. That's okay.
Sure, go ahead. We can get into the Masters, but we
playoffs are around the corner, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
We can jump into the Masters right after this. But so I think the Mavericks.
We got two more days to talk about the Masters.
Yeah, we do. Clippers versus Mavericks first round. I think is what we're going to get. I think it's already established, right? Yeah. I think
yes.
Yeah. So I think for the first time ever, this is a good matchup for Dallas. For the first time ever. Because the last few times they've played, Kawhi and PG have just wreaked havoc. Dallas has one guy who can score. I mean, in game 7 of the last Clippers series, he scored 46 and dished 14 dimes and they lost by 20. So he has a team now, right? He has two really good centers who can catch lobs and defend the paint and run the floor. He's got another guy that can create his own shot, shoot off the bounce, and Kyrie Irving. He's got some spot-up shooters. PJ's been off, but he can technically hit spot-up threes. Tim Hardaway Jr. can hit spot-up threes. You know, they're going to have to get lucky to make the finals. Or make the Western Conference Finals, but I think they could make the Western Conference Finals pretty reasonably this year.
Lively coming back, you figure like Green gives you decent minutes too, right? Green, we talked about
Green.
I'm looking at how deep the Mavericks get because honestly, like the Clippers don't concern me. I see the Mavericks getting past the Clippers, that's for sure.
Yeah, me too.
My question when I get to anybody in the West is like, is this squad deep enough to take on Denver? Like that's usually what it all comes down to when I'm trying to break down like the West, right? Like,
yeah.
And right now what I'm seeing is you got five scorers that give you can get in double digits for scoring. Right. But yeah. I mean, how are you going to, how's your differential going to be at the cup? Right. In the front court, like how are you going to be able to stop somebody like Jokic? How are you going to be able to stop, you know, another dominant figure? Hell, if you know you do get to the finals and you see a Boston like, but you know we sleep on Boston, but Zinger's doing some pretty decent stuff for Boston too, right? On the defensive side,
they're using him right.
Right. Well, it seems like the first team that ever used him right.
They're posting him up. I don't know why nobody ever posted him up. Instead of letting him
be the unicorn on the wing, yeah.
He didn't post up in Dallas.
I don't think he had the stature. At the time,
well, he didn't have the offense around him to play back to the basket at all. That's part of it too.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you could argue that Boston's probably the most talented offensive team in the damn East, right? By far.
They're so well built. But they're even better on defense, I think.
Does Miami make a run like they did last year?
Miami? No.
Yeah, do they have the chance to
do
what they did last year?
One of my good friends is a Heat fan. He has very little faith that they're gonna
be
this year. So I trust his take. Shout out Jake Bayless. Yes, the roster is a lot better. Giving Boban, Trey Burke, and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist minutes. Oh my God, what were we doing? Willie Cauley-Stein, Josh Richardson. Good Lord, what a horrible roster. Look at the roster from a year and a half ago now.
Yeah.
For the Mavericks. Seriously, their starting five has one of the same guys in it now than it did 5 years ago. One, and it's Luka. And everybody else is different. Lively or Gafford. Maxey, I guess, plays some too, but the whole lineup's different. The team's competitive. They're competitive with Luka off the floor now too, which was the big problem. Was the second Luka sits down, the other team goes on a 10-0 run. But
right. Well, you also got you got key cogs like Curry coming off the bench too. You know what I mean? Like
Seth? And
Curry provides good minutes too.
He's not on Dallas anymore, I don't think. I haven't seen him a lot, or he's injured.
I'm pretty sure he's on Dallas, or at least I thought he was on Dallas. But hell, you're the aficionado.
I think he got traded in the. Let me look it up.
Well, that shows you how much I watch Dallas. I could have sworn I saw Seth Curry on the team last week. But I mean,
yeah, no, he plays for Charlotte. He was part of the Charlotte trade to the PJ Washington trade. That's what I thought. Yeah, but either way.
Oh, right on. Oh, my bad. Yeah. So it shows you how much that I show love to the Dallas Mavericks. So the Clippers, I don't see them struggling too much past the Clippers. The team that I've been worried about so much out of the West, obviously it's been Denver, right? Which is funny because Denver looked like they couldn't figure their shit out a month ago. And now it seems like they got everything just kind of soaring. What about Oklahoma, my guy? How about the Thunder? Do they have a chance to actually make a run at this thing?
Yeah, they do. They're annoying. I'll be real. I don't like
probably them. One of the best players in the league right now.
Shea is great, yeah. But their fan base is so victimized by themselves. They're like, we have it the hardest. You don't understand. Every Twitter post I see is the fans are hating. The media is hating. What are you going to do, Shea? It's what are you talking about? Nobody's mad at you guys. Nobody cares about you.
Are they still upset because KD left Oklahoma? What's the deal?
Probably. Honestly, I'd still be upset about that. I love KD.
Well, I mean,
that breaks my heart.
I love KD 100%, but it's
like A-Rod left.
Doesn't have wherever he goes, just doesn't have the formula in place to make a winner. Unless you're going to a star-studded cast like the Warriors back in their prime, but
yeah, no, I mean. The thing is that Kevin Durant is absolutely good enough to be your best player on a championship team, obviously, but he's never really had to be in a situation where he's won it all. I mean, he was the best, I guess. He's better than Steph in those finals, but he's never far and away the guy on a championship team. He's always been, one.
Yeah, he's
and that's not even a knock on him at all. But when people were so mad when Durant went to the Warriors, and I understand why, of course, because it's not great for the game. But what I did was if you got offered a job that's going to pay you more, it's in a better city, it's a better opportunity, who would not take that? Why are athletes the only ones who aren't allowed to better themselves?
Right.
It just never made sense to me. It's like an ownership.
And yet we still get a free pass to the coach or whatever. If the coach wants to get out.
That's
of there,
my yeah, point, sure. Dude. Look at who just left? Cal's left Arkansas. Kentucky for Arkansas.
Fan base wanted Cal out of there too. Right?
But Chris Beard did that to Tech or whatever. And coaches jump ship all the time and go to other schools and. There's been a lot of really nasty transfers, dude. Kobe Johnson going from USC to UCLA, Matthew Cleveland going from Florida State to Miami. There's just a lot of college basketball transfers where they just don't care about the tradition. They're
you'll never hear me say apologize for your life. Apologize for having happiness in your life, right?
Of course,
we get one shot at this thing. really. And I'm not trying, I'm not telling you to sit there and be, you know, the most selfish person in the world, but damn, make sure that you do love yourself, because if you don't love yourself, if you can't figure out how to love yourself, you're not going to be able to figure out to love anybody else.
That's oh, just, yeah, it's impossible.
That's something that my grandfather always used to tell me. And hell, dude, it's stuck. It has resonated so tremendously with me. And hell, it's one of my best life lessons, right? Love yourself, bro. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's like the key to life.
About loving yourself. That's the thing, too, man. When people... people today, they have a little bit of that self guilt, right? Or that I got it so well guilt, if you want to call it that or whatnot. Hell, man, it's not a bad thing to have a good life. It's not.
No. Survivor's guilt.
That's what I was alluding to with survivor's guilt. But usually I only use that terminology in terms of war or whatever, in terms of the military. But yeah, that's kind of what it is, man. You kind of got a little bit of survivor's guilt because you got it a little bit too good. Man, screw that, bro. You earned it. You earned it, man. Live your life, man. Love your life. That's all I got to say.
Was his message in the comments about Tyrese Hunter? Did something come out about him today?
Like, just I did not see something. Tyrese, what are you referring to, Jake? What we got going on? Well, that will pull up here in just a couple of minutes. Anyways, while we do that and look for that, let me give you guys the commercial that we need for... Covert Bee Cave. Covert Bee Cave, one of our proud sponsors. Let me get into that so you guys can get your all's deal and spiel about Covert Bee Cave.
Hi, I'm Dan Covert with my wife, Hayden. Welcome to Covert Bee Cave.
Our newest location in the gorgeous Hill Country includes Buick, GMC, Cadillac, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram, and hundreds of pre-owned and certified vehicles for you to choose from. We have 3 service departments that are ready to take care of your car, truck, or SUV with 86 service bays to accommodate any repair and get you in and out quickly. Come visit us today to select the vehicle you've been dreaming about.
Covert, born and raised in Austin.
All right, he was equating it to players leaving for a better situation and then getting hate for it. That's apparently
Okay. Thank God. I thought it was like some news or something. Like
he was leaving the portal?
Or
that
I don't know.
How do you feel about Hunter's play?
I mean,
can I give you my take on Texas basketball?
Drop it.
It's really good to have a natural 3,000 point scorer on your team, right? And don't get me wrong, I think, you know, the success we had this year was a lot of it was accredited to Max Asmus, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you have a prolific scorer like that, that demands the ball in his hands so much to get his buckets or to fill the bucket up, it takes away from your facilitators. And when you're not a natural facilitator, you're kind of neutralizing and really just making a player like Tyrese Hunter or Kendall Weaver irrelevant, because you're taking the ball out of their hand when they can speed up tempo, change pace, because that's what a really good point guard needs to do is control pace and flow of the game, right? And
yeah,
you know, understand when to attack, understand when to change that pace up, and when to work the half court and when to push the full court, right? When you also get your players into the game, like if you're Asmus and the ball is constantly in your hand, what are you doing to get Tyrese Hunter going? What are you doing to get Kendall Weaver going or Mitchell, right? Nobody is expecting you to pass the damn ball because they know you're going to get your shot up. You got to get your 25, you got to get your 30 points per game, right? Every night. They're going to play off of those guys and kind of like stack or you know, maybe double and bracket you just a little bit. Asmus, man, like I needed more facilitation out of Asmus. And one, you to me, I'm not saying that he was an anchor or an unwanted weight to the team, but dude, I think you kind of killed Tyrese Hunter's mojo a little bit this year, man. Of course, you know, we probably wouldn't get the offensive production from Asmus if he didn't have the ball in his hand. But I would have loved to see RT kind of work it out a little bit going through this year to develop Asmus into, you know, being a scorer that didn't have to have the rock or didn't have to be so damn ball dominant.
Yeah, I can see that. I think the main problem with Asmus this year is they just ran very few off-ball actions for him. They ran very few screens for him to come off of and shoot. You know, because that's like one of his strengths is he'll come off a pin down and hit a jumper. Like that's his game. What, you he can know, shoot off the dribble too, but
you
like
worked a two man game with him in Dasu, but why can't you have that two man game work out with Hunter and Dasu and then kick out to Asmus?
Yeah, it's when you have a primary ball handler that is not an initiator as much as they are a scorer, you have a kind of a different offense you have to run.
Right. So it's a different philosophy altogether.
And the problem was, you know, I love RT. I actually think RT is doing a pretty good job, but the offensive play calling or lack thereof, I should say, is alarming. And
I would say I would say versatility.
Yeah.
Not enough plays.
Yeah.
UConn had 7 to 10 plays in their set.
Oh, yeah. They were running. No, so UConn, I mean, Dan Hurley's the best X's and O's guy in the country. But, well, himself, Samson.
I was going to say, where you got Samson at, man?
Himself, like, Samson's pretty damn himself, good too. Samson, Scott Drew are probably my top four right now. Yeah, I think that's my top four. But, yeah, as far as, like, next year goes, though, they get Trey Johnson, who is that Dallas kid I was talking about earlier, who was a five-star. So when he was a 15-year-old, Trey, at Lake Highlands in Dallas, he played against Cason Wallace, Oklahoma City Thunder, and Rylan Griffin, Alabama basketball this year.
They were on the same squad?
Same high school team, yeah. Cason Wallace and Rylan Griffin were. And Trey scored 37 against them when he was 15 in a high school game. And ever since that happened, I was like, okay, this kid might be the truth. Right. And I can say this, too. He is the most polished offensive prospect Texas has had since KD.
He's gonna be polished. Let's be real about this, okay? Like, if he's this damn good, he's here 1 year.
Oh, he's here 1 year, yeah, for sure.
How do you build off of that?
You don't, but you take advantage of having him for 1 year and you build around it.
This goes back to my question with Shaka, right? When Shaka was here with Texas, like, Shaka had talent. Shaka got a lot of talent, but Shaka got a lot of one-year talent, right? I think his main guy was Matt Coleman, right? Coleman,
yeah.
4 years.
He was good. Coleman was good.
100%. You know, Coleman won us some huge ball games. He was one hell of a floor general, but he's not that NBA stud that you're
going to. No, he's not an NBA guy. But
so my question is, like, in comparison to the one and done guys, what's the ratio? What's the perfect mesh for the one and done guys and the ultimate seniors that are going to stay there? Because that's apparently, to me, kind of where Calipari was falling short. He didn't have that continuity for seniors.
It's funny you bring that up because I've been sort of writing about this recently. I haven't posted anything about it yet, but I've been writing about what is the ideal college team look like. The problem with Kentucky has been they bring in five stars. They're all 19. And it's not just that they're immature. It's that they're not physically developed
yet.
Remember
Anthony Davis when he left Kentucky? Because
Oakland's players were 5 years older than Kentucky's players.
Remember how skinny and scrawny and how undeveloped Anthony Davis was when he was leaving Kentucky? I forget how scrawny and skinny Kevin Durant was.
Once, probably.
I forget that all the time, dude.
225, couldn't do it.
That's
once.
Crazy,
insane.
That's, and what were these seven? You're 7 foot, Kevin Durant. You're 7 foot.
I mean, his arms are so long. Like, think about how far you have to extend. Push that bar up.
Well, that's why a shot doesn't get blocked all the time, man.
Never gets blocked.
elevates and he's got such a long
way and
he brings it back all the way to the damn logo when he's shooting and slingshots the damn thing.
Yeah, I've been I love KD. I really wish he'd ended up somehow on the Mavericks at some point, but whatever. I'll just cheer for him on other teams.
Jake says, could have ran Ron Holland if the stupid Ignite folded a year earlier.
Yeah, we were just talking about that, Jake, because Dink Pate signed a 2-year deal with Ignite, and he is now scrambling, trying to figure out what the hell to do with his year because he's too young to enter the NBA draft. So he's like stuck in a.
Keenan, you play pickleball at all?
I do like pickleball. I haven't played.
Before we get out of here, man, I got to tell you about my friends at Pick Sports Gear. They are pickleballers. For all you pickleballers out there, listen up, ready up, because it is time. Ready to up your game with the gear that's designed right here in Austin? Well, look no further than Pick Sports Gear. Their equipment is crafted with precision and passion right here in the heart of the city, known for its love, sports, and innovation. From the top-of-the-line paddles to premium accessories, they have everything that you need to dominate the court with style. Plus, keep an eye out for the demo days that happened yesterday down there at Baldwin, at the Baldwin location down there. It's happening right here, right now at Austin. It's your chance to try out and get our first-hand gear, score exclusive deals. Check out the website and the locations right now at picksportsgear.com. Gear up with Pick Sports Gear today. Get ready because their clothing line drops this summer. Show off all your Austin-made excellence with Pick Sports, with the pickleball court, on the pickleball court, rather. Now go play some picks and go get some picks. Learn more at picksportsgear.com. That's www.picksportsgear.com, P-I-X-sportsgear.com. That's a lot of Pick Sports Gear, man. But yeah, I don't know.
I like the glasses.
Thank you, man. Thank you. I got to bring out my Coke bottle glasses there.
Coke bottle glasses. Yeah, cover. If you're playing pickleball.
All the fine print, my guy.
Glasses, you're not doing it
right. Where are you playing pickleball at?
There's a place by my office, actually. And
Dude, we got some courts up here at Cedar Park, too, man.
I'll come out. Text me.
Dude, I'll come down to you. So look, it's not the geriatrics in me that's getting out there and doing this. Well, one, my wife used to play tennis a lot. And
my wife loves tennis too. So
I'll go out there and play, but hell, within like 10 minutes, I'm hitting the damn, I'm going
hard
hands and I'm smacking it as hard as I can outside the court. Like, oh, that's gone. Adam, that's not how you play the game.
Yeah, it's not baseball, so, dude.
But I mean, I can't resist. Like, I have to send one. I have to send one to the gods from the court, you know, send it to the god Sampras or Andre Agassi or whatnot, you know, send it to gods. Anyways, yeah. Dude, I had to find something to play with my wife or whatnot, and tennis just wasn't doing it for me. And pickleball is like miniature tennis, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. It's super fun.
And I ain't got to run around that much anymore. My hips don't have to be activated. You know what I mean? We get out there. But yeah, and also with Pick Sports, I don't know if you've seen the paddles at Pick Sports Gear, but
I'll check it out, though.
Dude, I don't know what happened. Like, when I got 40, I started getting arthritis in my hands. But got these ergonomic paddles and shit to where, you know, lightweight paddles to where you don't feel any stress or any kind of strain in your hands or your grip. You can actually grip the damn paddle for the entire contest without feeling anything in your hand.
Yeah, there's a place called Bolden Acres near my apartment that has pickleball courts.
There you go. That's where they're playing off Lamar.
Yep.
Yep. That's where they were at yesterday for demo days.
Where I live, so.
They were down there at Bolden on South Lamar for their demo days yesterday, man.
Hey, yeah, that's a fun place, man. That's like my favorite bar to go to.
Wags, do I get a free copy of NCAA 25?
Do you get a free copy? I think he's asking if you get a free copy.
I do. I got a few of them. We'll say that. I got a few of them.
I'm. Can you pre-order them yet?
No.
Okay.
No. Not available.
I have a PS4. I hope it comes out on PS4.
Hey, look, let me tell you something. You guys know the drill. I will give you guys codes, as many codes as I can get. I'm going to get for Texas Sports Unfiltered and Chaos Theory. You guys know that. I'm going to be handing out as many wins as I can to get everybody back into video game land for college sports. We haven't had this in 10 years, guys.
It's so exciting. I cannot wait to get destroyed by 12-year-olds online and lose every game. I can't wait to play against a 13-year-old.
You say it tongue-in-cheek, but it's absolutely going to happen. Some 12-year-old is going to be sitting there crying at his mom or crying to his mom because I yelled at him.
So horrendous and offensive at me that I like have to log off. And I'm like, how old are you? And he's like 12. And I'm like, what happened to your generation, man? Like, what existential crises happen when I play video games online? Like, if I play 2K, I'm down by 25 in the third quarter. I'm just like, what's even going on in this game?
And then your rage quit and then turning the game off?
And then I have to storm off, and then I have to explain to my wife why I'm mad. And it's because it's a video game. She's like, "Oh, that's why you're mad, really?" It's
like, hey, you know, I'm a competitive
business.
I'm a competitive gamer. I'm a competitive gamer.
It's business, man.
It is business, dude. Screw those 12-year-olds, man. Tell them to come hang out. Tell your mom I said hi.
I'm gonna find you, beat you up.
Threatening children. So let me ask you this question, with. You know, all the news of college football coming back, there has been questions and rumors flying about other sports games being brought back. I remember, you know, EA had college basketball at one point. But also, guys, like, we got to remember this question. If EA is struggling to produce a title like NBA Live, how hard and how difficult do you think it's probably it is to produce a title like college basketball. If they're struggling to produce professional basketball, it's probably going to be tough to produce a college basketball game. Now, look, even if talks have been in discussion about it, I wouldn't expect it or get our hopes up for a while, right? I would love to see college baseball too. Like I'm absolutely MVP 06, love that,
man.
It would be fantastic. I just don't think that's going to come back to happen yet.
No,
there's a lot of other projects that are getting ready to go down. A lot of other studios are coordinating and moving over and getting under the EA umbrella. But that's a tough ask of what we want.
I think when I become like a 100 millionaire, I'm just going to have them do it for me.
Are you going to just say, hey, I'm going to be a developer and create my own game?
Yeah, sure.
You're in you're already in the tech business, my guy.
I am tangentially in the tech business.
You're not coding software or anything like that?
No, I mean, I'm doing work, but it's not really coding. It's pretty easy, honestly.
CD says, I suck at video games. My nephews smoke me almost every time in 2K, NBA 2K 24, MLB The Show, etc.
Good to hear from you, Chris.
CB, the best producer in all of sports. We know that, man. That's kind of like how I was. I used to play, you know, my kid in Madden all the time. You know, that was kind of like a tradition that we would do.
Me and my dad played
whatnot, and be like, hey, you ready to get your ass beat today? And then, it started happening to where he figured out the plays. He would figure out the glitch plays to where, you know, he run the flag route and it's an uncoverable route or whatever just because of the coding. And I'd say, hey, man, you know, if you keep running I was that guy. I pulled this out of the hat. I was like, hey, if you keep running that play, I'm not going to play anymore. So
that's like when who was it? I think it was that quarterback Cardale Jones when he was like visiting kids in the oncology ward and he beat a kid by like 80 in NCAA.
Respect. That's not even
never take a day off, dude. Never, no matter what.
That's not even appropriate. That's going to ruin friendship
in the least. But he's a competitor. What can you say? His fire. It's too strong.
I'm with it, man. I'm with it. Sitting here watching a little bit of the Masters as we go through it. DeChambeau, anybody that had DeChambeau, he's tied now, man. Homa came up now tied with DeChambeau, -7 on the round right now.
That's a good question. Who's on the cover of the new college football game?
I don't know yet.
Probably the LSU quarterback, right?
I don't think that's been determined yet.
But that's who I would. If we're up to you, who'd you put on there? UT edition, obviously, you put, you know, Xavier Worthy or something. But
I got to go with Corum.
Yeah, that's totally fair.
I think I got to go with Corum. Just based on, breaking
the he's like the All-American.
Being the all-time touchdown toter for Michigan, right?
Yep.
And then having the season, you could argue, like, that offense, and they had two really good running backs, right? But, I mean, Corum's the guy that really solidifies himself as a cover guy just because of he's got the record for Michigan. So, I mean, and again, like, quarterbacks are getting all the fucking love anyways for college football. Let's give it to a running back whose lifespan is probably going to be, 3 years in the league?
Yeah, at most five.
So, anyways, man, I see Jeff Howe in the background here. Let's bring Jeff on. What's up, Jeff? How we doing, boy?
You know what's going on, man.
What up, Jeff? How are you, brother?
Oh, man, I'm good. Hey, I just had an idea. What you got? Wasn't even thinking this. Just thought of it as you guys were discussing the cover athlete for whatever. I guess we're calling it college football. EA's college football that's coming out this summer.
Yeah, I don't know if there's an actual title for it yet.
Yeah. But. As corny as it sounds, I would do a fan vote, and I would have basically bracketed off, and the guys that – So the 2013 season, NCAA 14 with Denard Robinson was the last cover athlete. I would basically take all the guys that didn't get a cover that should have and basically bracket it off and vote.
That's like awesome.
Johnny Manziel.
What if you did a grid layout of all those players?
Or like some kind of montage. Of, hey, yeah. Here's like, That'd we missed awesome. You, we're back kind of thing, you know?
I love that, man. That's really
dude,
cool.
I think they'd probably have to – you'd have to get pictures of all the athletes that were, you know, studs at that time, you know, through that era or whatnot. But hell yeah, I'm all over. That's the first thing that came to my mind when you were talking about, all those players was like a grid format or a montage format of it.
Yeah,
dude. Who's Jordan, some of the studs that pop off your head right now that would be on that montage?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Figured Derrick Henry, right? Got to have Derrick Henry on there.
For me, it would probably be Joe Burrow.
Yeah, that'd be fair.
Like,
yeah,
if you think about the guy between the last game and this game, that like the most memorable individual season we've seen.
Fine.
That would be 2019 Joe Burrow. So yeah, I'd probably go Joe Burrow.
That's the best team I've ever seen in college football. I think the 2019 LSU squad. I mean, I haven't been watching as long as, like, you know, like my dad told me the best team he ever saw was like 01 Miami. But like the best team I've seen at full strength was 19 LSU. I've never seen a team beat people like that. Unbelievable.
Now, see, I think that LSU team is probably the best offense I've ever seen. Yeah. But I mean, that offense going up against the 0-1 Miami Hurricane defense. That offense wasn't any slouch either.
That LSU team had two top five wide receivers on it and a top five quarterback.
You had Clinton Portis. You had Willis McGahee backing up Clinton Portis. You had Najee Davenport as your fullback. The only downfall is that you had Ken Dorsey as your quarterback.
And he was the Heisman winner, wasn't he?
No, he
didn't win the Heisman?
I don't think he won the
Heisman. Your 0-1 Heisman winner was Eric Crouch.
Yeah, you're right. Nebraska or Kentucky?
Nebraska,
yeah.
Man, Wags, I don't know if I told you this, and Keenan, I know I didn't tell you this because I haven't seen you since then, but at the pro, Reggie Wayne was at the Texas Pro Day because he's the Colts receivers coach.
Oh, wow.
And
does he still got it?
You know, you could tell he didn't. We kind of knew who he was, but he was trying to like hide his face, and you know, when he walked by us, didn't want to be recognized or anything.
Did he have a hoodie on?
No, he just had the Colts. When he passed by media, he just had the ball cap, just pulled it down a little lower. But I was telling Hank South was there. Hank was helping pick up some of the slack that day, and we were talking. I was like, you know, people talk about the 0-1 Miami team, but that 2000 Miami offense. Think about it. Ken Dorsey is throwing passes to a receiver tight end group that's Jeremy Shockey, Santana Moss, Reggie Wayne, and Andre Johnson.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Kellen Winslow, too. Kellen Winslow as well.
Yeah, dude. It's
like Kellen Winslow was backing Shockey up.
Yeah. That 0-1 team, Frank Gore was the scout team running back.
That's like a fantasy football lineup.
Yeah.
McKinney was the tackle.
Brian McKinney, was the left tackle. Yeah, Vince Wilfork was on that D line.
Yeah, the Vince Wilfork, Gerard Mayo.
Jonathan Vilma, your linebacker.
Sean Taylor,
DJ Williams.
Ed Reed was on those teams,
Ed Reed. Buchanan, Ed Reed was on the 0-1 team.
Philip Buchanan
that's not even fair.
Yeah.
Have you seen that track team? The 0-1 track. It's all the football team. The Miami Hurricane track team is the football team.
Yeah. I love it when guys do two sports like that. I think that's so cool. When guys do track.
If you watch the U 30 for 30 documentary, the U part two, Butch Davis talks about that, when they had scholarship restrictions and they talked to the athletic director, they're like, look, you can have guys on track scholarship, you know, but they got to be legit track guys. So, you know, they had like Santana Moss won
he was running the relays.
I think he broke most of like the Big East indoor sprint records and was a multiple time All-American. Like that dude's like, you know, Andre Johnson, I know, ran track. So they had guys because they were on probation and scholarship restrictions, but they got some legit dudes in that program based on the fact that they ran track.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I did not know.
One way to hide your talent or keep more talent on, that's for sure.
Now it's just, you know, it goes to the headcount sport, right? So if you try to get in on a track scholarship and you play football, that's what happened to Marquise Goodwin. Like Marquise Goodwin didn't sign at Texas as a football recruit. He was a track guy, but it was understood the minute he steps foot on the football field, that scholarship's going to count against your 85. It's no longer a track scholarship. Right. So That's how they don't get around those rules so easy now.
Wow. It's like the partial qualifier deal, sort of in the 90s, right, with Nebraska.
Yeah, and that was, man, Keenan, you bring that up, and you know, again, that's the Big 12 was formed 6 years before Jordan was born, but you talk about like the stuff that was fragmented the Big 12 from the start. Like that was one of the big deals. Like Nebraska was a big Prop 48 school. They wanted partial qualifiers, and
Kansas State too, right?
Texas and Texas A&M were like, no, we don't. We're not going to do that in this league. So,
Yeah. Well, gents, I got to get out of here. Keenan, thank you so much for chopping it up with me, man. And absolutely, coming to Chaos Theory for Texas Sports Unfiltered, man. We'd love to have you back anytime soon. You guys know that, man. You're one of the best in the business, and you chop it up as well as anybody else. But
I feel like I'll be back
time now for it's only an hour. You guys enjoy the rest of your show and format for Texas Sports Unfiltered. And it's Friday, guys. Make sure you're getting your Masters gear in as well. You guys have a great day.